Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member. J.P., welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bill. How are you doing today?
So, J.P., I was watching a lot with curiosity as I was overseas for a couple of weeks, and when this issue of the keys came up, I was kind of like, what's next?
It's a lot. You used to be in charge of a secure facility, Newell. You know how important it is that when you're offboarding someone, you have to take the keys. And the fact that I had a copy of the keys was just, it was a lot.
So, it was interesting, Sheriff Hudson's response obviously doesn't bring forward any inventory documentation of materials that are assigned to this particular individual who I think was terminated from their employ with the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office or anything like that. She didn't bring the receipts and just basically said, those keys are not to the jail.
Right, and I think it kind of misses the point, because as you know, obviously those keys are probably not to any particular cells, because as you know, the jail, there's a variety of doors and locks throughout a facility. But the challenge is, and you know this from being in your past capacity, being a jailer, it's about site security. And when you look at the escape itself, they broke out of their cell through the mechanical pipes into an unlocked storage room. That is the story we've all been told, right? When you look at something like me jingling some keys, well, we don't know if the storage room was locked, Newell. The unlocked storage room could have been locked. Also, part of the excuse we got remember there was that huge delay between when the escapees escaped and when they did the affirmative head count and notified an OPD. One of the things we were told at the council was, well, occasionally the sheriff loses inmates inside the facility, so what they wanted to double-check they weren't somewhere else. You know from having run a jail, that's what those keys symbolize. If the inmates literally have the keys to the asylum, they can go anywhere. And it doesn't matter if you've got a faulty lock to a jail cell. If someone has keys to get in every single office, to go in every single room, to exit every door, to get out of every fence, having site security, site control, is knowing where every single key is. And as you saw from the video, we have a key log showing not only did I have this copy of these keys that were given to me by a foreign employee, but people are checking out keys, generally speaking, for hundreds of days with no accountability. And as you know, with those types of keys that are like those things called star keys, a reputable locksmith will not copy them, but lots of disreputable ones will. So we have no idea how many of any of these keys are out in the public right now.
So what is your assessment of the situation right now? I made the observation yesterday in my monologue that we need to close the chapter on this, and the best thing that could happen would be for Sheriff Susan Hudson to resign. I think she's in office until June 30 of next year, if my memory serves me correct.
Well,
so she has.
I would give one big caveat to that, because you know this being a sheriff. Remember, what happens when a sheriff resigns? Their chief deputy becomes the sheriff.
That is correct, if the federal court is not willing to step in. Now, they've stepped in before.
That is the caveat you and I can both agree on. Because, like, I've gotten a lot of pushback from people saying, well, why aren't you calling on the sheriff to resign? I'm like, well, under the law currently, if the sheriff resigns, sheriffs basically handpick their replacements, because their chief deputy becomes the sheriff. So if I thought there was competence at any level over there, and that there was a person we could all agree upon would be the next person to operate the jail until the election's over, I think a resignation's appropriate. I mean, honestly, I think the best case scenario is I think the federal judge needs to step in and needs to come in and weigh in on how this jail's going to function. Now, whether that is a administrative takeover, whether it's allowing state DOC to step in and run the jail, someone else needs to be running the jail. I just don't think it needs to be Susan or her hand-picked deputy, which would be the next sheriff. So to your point, I agree. If the option is to have someone else that's not currently there running it, I can agree to that.
Because there hasn't been anything positive that has come out of any of these investigations thus far. In fact, you know, it's getting progressively worse, and I suspect that it's going to continue down this path, right? I mean, and I don't know how many millions of dollars has been spent in trying to capture these inmates. We still have two at large. I said it's over a million. I've had other people say it's probably more like 3 or 4 million. You know, I mean, how much is too much before we say, you know, you just got just please just move on.
Well, I mean, to your point, that million is how much the city has spent, because we're spending about $200 to $250 a week. That's not including what the state's spending. That's not including what the U.S. Marshals and everyone else is spending. So if you're looking at just the city, we're probably at about a million. If you factor in everyone else in their dragnet, you're talking about way more than that. And as you might recall from one of the many infamous exchanges that I had with the sheriff during one of our many meetings, when she was talking about how we don't help, and I looked at her and I looked at her CFO, Ms. Brown, and I said, we're not helping. We're footing the bill to catch the people you lost. Like, if you know, Newell, if this was any other parish and any other traditional sheriff, they would be on the hook for this. But because the nature of how our sheriff is, because they're not the law enforcement entity, which is separate, we're having to redirect general fund to augment NOPD to make up for the screw up. And it's frustrating us as a council, because the sheriff continued this narrative of, if I had more money, I could solve the problems. And it's like, no, from what we've seen every day, as more information comes to light, the big thing that came out our most recent meeting is, and the legislative auditor said it best, she's sitting on anywhere from $8 to $17 million in fund balance. When we find that out and you're telling us that these eight things have been fixed, the inmates wouldn't have escaped, she had the money, Newell, to fix it the whole time. It's just she wanted us to spend our money, spend city money, defund projects, defund roads, defund parks, defund whatever, because she wanted to sit on cash reserves we didn't know about. And, I mean, I don't know how much further you can go into the lane of malfeasance than that, and that you knew things had to be fixed, and you decided that you would not spend the money that the city had given you, that voters had given you, to actually shore up the thing you're in charge of maintaining.
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty basic, right, in the setting of the priorities and laying out the communication that at a later date the city could reimburse you for these expenses, but because of the exigency of the situation that you would have to spend these dollars now. I mean, we've all been faced with these predicaments, right?
Right. I mean, that was the primary issue which really bugged me in that exchange, was that the sheriff portrayed a sense of urgency when it came to securing city dollars. But to your point, if you have to spend money, you always have the ability. Every agency, we don't encourage deficit spending, but in an emergency, you need to address the issue. I mean, it happened during, we didn't allocate money in advance for what happened on January 1st. NOPD and everyone else spent the money that was necessary, and then we have to readjust the budget after the event to address that. That is what you do in an emergency. You can't on one breath say this is an emergency, that's not my fault, and then be sitting on millions of dollars to either prevent it from happening or deal with the immediate aftermath, and yet still say, I want to wait to get you to write a check versus me writing my own check. You can't have it both ways.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
So, JP, where are we relative to the consent decree and the federal court? I know there was a series of meetings in the immediate aftermath of the escape. Has there been any follow-up, and has there been any articulation by the court as to what they're thinking about at this present time?
Not really. I will say that what I do know and what I can comment on, obviously the judges had a closed-door meeting after the event happened. And what I know at this point is that a lot of the issues that contributed to this escape were things the monitor had flagged this sheriff for repeatedly. For example, the staffing issue, the tiers not being properly maintained, and really the kind of current state of the jail. So, I mean, on one hand, we know that based on the monitor's reports, which are publicly available, there was a deterioration of, and I'll say the facility in quotes because there's a lot of contention as to how deteriorated the facility is versus maintaining control of the jail itself. As you know, having been a former sheriff, in every jail in the universe, if left to their own devices, people who are frustrated and incarcerated will damage the jail if there's no repercussions for doing it.
Sure.
Part of what is obvious, both from what the monitor said and from what the legislative auditor observed, is that this is a jail that has that the sheriff has lost complete control over, and the acceleration of the deterioration of what is really a very young jail has largely been because when you don't have proper staffing and proper procedure, it allows the people who are incarcerated and frustrated to do a lot of damage to jails and locks and the like. And in any prison, if you don't control the prison, that's what happens. And it's kind of funny. You may have seen, Newell, the sheriff likes to say, he said in a response, you need to come tour the jail. Here's the funny thing, Newell. I did tour the jail. I toured the jail in August of 2022 after, as you may recall, that series of riots where they had to send in the SWAT team to reincarcerate everyone. And when I toured the jail at that time, Newell, two things came out. One, all the sheriff complained about was door handles not being installed correctly. No locks, no plumbing. That's one thing. Two, and you'll appreciate this, when I was touring the jail with the sheriff in August 2022, because I've toured the jail before, her consultant, this Australian woman, talked about how it was super important that all of the residents, because the sheriff repeatedly correct every sheriff that called an inmate, said all the residents, that the residents have access to iPads because it would help them be more manageable if they could use the iPads to stay in contact with their family. I said two things at that point. One, I said, are you telling me that your priority spending wise is to give iPads to people that are in jail? Because that does not seem like you're facilitating the rehabilitative process by removing things that could be a corrupted influence. And two, I said, all you're going to have if you give inmates iPads is you have an unsecure line to the outside where they can do bad things. And what you've seen thus far in the reporting is that there was an unmonitored FaceTime call they later found out about, according to what's been reported, where one of the individuals, I think Groves is still out, was planning on these iPads or some other FaceTime app on how he was going to escape.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just priorities. Well, I mean, the average person in the city of New Orleans, based upon our income levels, based upon research and studies we have, can't afford an iPad. Yet their tax dollars are going towards giving iPads to people that are incarcerated. That doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't.
Well, you know, in light of all of that, I mean, that's why I didn't take it very lightly when I mentioned it in my monologue yesterday. But, I mean, I just listened to what you said, and you're making the case that it's time to move on. Because if the court is really interested in the safety and security of the guards, the safety and security of the prisoners, and the safety and security of the community at large, I'm not sure and I'm not clear as to what other evidence is necessary that needs to present itself to say this is not happening under this particular individual's lack of leadership and it's not getting any better. I don't see it. I'm kind of curious. I just got a text from somebody that said they were working in the jail yesterday and that particular door that was broken to the area where they were able to break out, now they have a padlock on it. Too little too late.
I think if I had to guess, what I think is probably happening is that there are probably a lot of people in law enforcement in the courts that are waiting for the outcome of the Liz Merle investigation and Mike Wagaspak's audit of the jail. And I think that at the outcome of that, when those reports are made public, if I had to guess, that is going to spur multiple parties to do something pretty drastic, if I had to guess. And that's purely just my opinion, but I think what everyone's waiting for as far as those parties that could do something right now is something that is objective and actionable, showing that this is what's necessary to resolve it. To your point, like I said earlier, the only reason why I haven't called for the sheriff's resignation is because under the law, the sheriff picks a replacement. So making her resign doesn't solve the problem for me. If we get this report back from the attorney general, from the monitors at the jail, from Michael Wagaspak, the auditor, showing that there is as much mismanagement as we believe there to be, at that point, it is incumbent upon people at the state and federal level to do what's best to retain control of the facility. I mean, remember, part of what the monitor said in their report is the amount of violence and sexual assault in the jail has gone up under the sheriff. So it's not just an issue of keeping the public safe, in quotes, it's keeping the people in the jail safe in reality. Like, when you talk about there being unsafe standards in a holding facility, it's about everybody being safe. So it's like, even whether you're an advocate for the rights of those incarcerated or you're someone scared to go out at night, neither party is served when a sheriff can't control their jail. Full stop.
Yeah. I agree. And it's really a shame because the public's trust is eroding on this. I mean, we saw an increase with NOPD. We saw an increase with the DA, Jason Williams. You know, obviously this sheriff's in the toilet. You know, a lot of the judges in the toilet as well. You have this opportunity right now to create a lot of momentum, very positive momentum as to where we are and for good reasons. And, there are these moments, you know this, there are these moments that you've got to take advantage of and exploit to really get to the next level. And I think this is one of those moments. And I wish she would look at herself critically in the mirror and just resign.
And let the chips fall where they may.
It can't get any worse. I mean, I don't care who our chief deputy is. It can't get any worse. I mean,
I would caution you. You've seen my exchanges with her CFO. I would definitely say it could absolutely be worse. And what I would simply add is, to your point of there being a moment, this jailbreak happened a week after the sheriff passed a very contentious millage by 2 votes.
Sure.
So to compound how bad the moment was, you had a millage that had previously failed. She put it again on an off election. It scoots by on the skin of its teeth because two people decided they were going to give this sheriff a chance and put this over the top. I have not met a single person who voted for that millage that doesn't feel nauseous after what happened. Because remember, when we had our first meeting after the jailbreak and we asked what part of that millage would she put towards a revenue bond to help secure the facility, she declined to put any of the millage money up to make the facility safer and more secure, which told everyone who voted for that millage that everything that was sold to pass that millage based on trust, it was all BS, Noel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're right. I think there's a moment, and that moment, any moment she would have had to turn this around has changed. It is a national embarrassment. It is a focus on, yet again, the city having a black eye because we're not controlling something that's a basic service. And it's almost like we all see the writing on the wall. I think when there is an after-action report on this, there's deficiencies, Newell, you and I don't see yet that are going to come out in these reports. And it's going to be worse than what is now. And
I'm a total agreement with you.
Right. So, I mean, the fact that there's no exit strategy, I mean, the sheriff could voluntarily right now say, I've lost control of the facility. I'm going to bring in, I mean, honestly, you know, the Sheriff's Association is a tremendous resource. If any sheriff asks another sheriff for help, they give help if they can. When you talk to sheriffs, she's never asked for help.
No, and it's a failure, quite frankly. I mean, that's you know what you see when there's a lack of credible leadership, and obviously that's what we're facing at the present time. I don't know. It's just very disappointing. I mean, there's so many things that are relatively easy to do that we just don't seem to be able to get there. We're stuck in this ideological warfare on stuff, and it doesn't make much sense. And you know, and here we are. We're down and out with this issue and holding back a lot of positive momentum that we could have. We're fighting for our lives right now. This summer is going to be a tough summer. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. You know, the economies across this country are and you need to hit, you know, you've got to be at the plate hitting base hits every day, to use the baseball analogy. But, I mean, you know, it's kind of frustrating. I don't know.
It is, Noel.
It will be interesting. Yeah. But as always, you know, we didn't talk about garbage today, and now that you are the holder of the keys, it looks like keys will dominate the future conversations that we have.
Well, hopefully we'll have something positive to talk about next time, though. I'll figure out something nice to talk about next time.
Absolutely. J.P. Morrell, as always, thank you for making yourself available. We truly appreciate it. Have a great Father's Day weekend.
You too, Noel.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.